This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have standing guard on the board, the Lord of the board, our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And he got loose. He broke out of the back room where the phone banks were. He got loose, and he's right here in the studio with me, and that's Eric Thayer. Eric,
good
say
evening,
hello.
People.
You got to get close to the mic. Well, you're right about it, Eric.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Christians. May the Lord bless and keep all of us under his divine protection.
There you go.
Amen.
He's been waiting to say that for a long time. Now yeah. We got it done. All right. Now, way out yonder in Missouri, that country pastor, the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
That man that's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, his child and forever, I am. Glad to be with you, boss.
Amen. And tonight we have as a special, special guest, none other than a real pro-life lady from Ohio Pro-Life Action and a longtime friend. And I just want to say a lovely pro-life lady, Linda Tyes. Say hello,
I'm
Linda.
Hey, hi. I'm so glad to be with you. How are you all? Everybody's doing well this Thanksgiving weekend?
Yep, I had a great Thanksgiving. What about you?
Oh, ours was very busy, lots of kids around, and kind of crazy, but it was wonderful, wonderful.
All right, well, we praise the good Lord. We have a lot of blessings, and I found out something about what I call apportionment. We had three families that weren't able to make last week's Thanksgiving dinner at church. We had it because of it snowed out here, because of the snow. And so we had three turkeys cooked. And so what I did is I took their portions, and I let them know, I let them know how much I enjoyed all three portions. And I just had to do it. Anyhow, you ready for action? You ready for action tonight? All right, here's what we got to do. This is our last chance tonight, folks. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, you got to get on the telephone because tomorrow is your last chance. They're going to try to. We got to stop H.R. 8404. We've got to stop H.R. 8404. What we need to do is flip three Republicans. We have 12 rhinos that have turned against us. And what we have here, if we can flip three of them, they have to have a 60 votes. They have to have 60 votes. If we can flip three, they won't have it. So what you have to do, you've got to call this number and write the number down. I'll give it out again. And these are rhinos. These are people that have turned against us. And what this will do, it will make a mockery out of the first divine institution that God gave us. It will soil the institution of marriage and the family. It'll make something that's good and clean and wholesome and the marriage bed undefiled, it will defile it. And that's exactly what you need to say when you call. You really need to say, haven't you never read God's Word, the Bible? Have you never read the Word of God? Now, I'm going to read the names, and then I'll give you the phone number that you will call first thing in the morning. 202-224-3121. Just ask for the senator that's in your state as I read these off. Again, that number is 202-224-3121. Roy Blunt of Missouri. Roy Blunt of Missouri. Richard Burr of North Carolina. Joni Ernst of Iowa. Tom Tillis of North Carolina. Shelley Capito of West Virginia. Susan Collins of Maine. Cynthia Loomis of Wyoming. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Rob Portman of Ohio. Mitt Romney of Utah. Dan Sullivan of Alaska. And Todd Young of Indiana. And so it formally repeals the Defense of Marriage Acts, which defined marriage in federal law as the union of one man with one woman. And it would, again, like I say, what they want to do is they want to defile. They want to defile that divine institution. Now, I'll try to get this in before the program's over again tonight. So you need to do it. You need to call. You need to listen to my sermon. And the title of the message, Pastor Joe, do you remember what the title was?
Our goal is to destroy and eliminate you. Can we count on your continued support?
Okay, so this is, we're going to start off, and this is kind of a scenario, what you might hear a conversation between two of our enemies, the pro-death, the Democrats. There's an ongoing, outspoken request by the enemies of God, church, family, country, and freedom. The request is that we, the people of the United States of America, remain lethargic, inactive, and uninvolved concerning our destruction and ultimate elimination. We, those of us that you call the woke elite, let you know what we're going to do to you and your family. Do you remember when Nikita Khrushchev, during a press conference around 1960, he took off his shoe and beat the top of the podium? He said that we will defeat you from within without ever firing a shot. We will indoctrinate your youth. We will give you dose after dose after dose of socialism until one day you will awaken to realize that you have become communist. Now, we were a bit concerned that you might heed the warnings of some of those on the right. They were sounding the alarm, telling you that we were indoctrinating your children into cultural Marxism. They were telling you to call your congressmen and senators, saying, telling them that we urging them to put a stop to it. They even told you that you should run for the school board and kick us out. But luckily for us, you couldn't be bothered. You couldn't be bothered by calling congressmen and getting involved. No, no, not at all. With your child's education. After all, you had the American dream to live. We knew that we were winning when Madeline Murray O'Hare had had your God expelled from the public schools. We feared that there might be an uprising among the clergy, but to our relief, with a few exceptions, the clergy turned out to be paper tigers with only a pathetic whimper of protest. It was then that we realized that so few of the clergy were real. They feared government and the loss of their tax-exempt status more than they feared God. They, with a very few exceptions, would rather tuck and run instead of risking the loss of their precious 501c3. We, however, were still concerned with that small percentage of clergy that were as dedicated to Christ as we were to Marx. Their boldness and their courage were proof of their non-compromised faith. How well they understood and agreed with the message preached by the founder of Oberlin College in 1873. Yeah. Yes, Charles Finney, yeah. In his sermon titled The Decay of Conscience, it read, "If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the people and if the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, well, the pulpit is responsible for it." If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, Joe, would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and read me verses 14 through 19?
Will do. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator."
All right, now, you know, Peter was quoting Jesus in verse 14 from Matthew 5:11, when he said, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you." And so, "And when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Well, you know, again, today I remember one time hearing these pastors say how he would never go out in front of an abortion mill, would never go and rescue children as long as it was legal. As long as he was legal, he wouldn't do that. He didn't want to ruin the reputation of his church. Linda, what do you think about that?
Oh, gosh. You know, if we can't depend on our leaders who are here to give us God's word, where do we go? Where do we go? We go directly to Scripture. Praise God, we can do that. But when you have leaders who are so fearful, what does that say? It doesn't say much for their conviction, for what their call is in their life, and it just gets passed down to the people who come to hear it. If they're not going to hear it from them, I don't know. We've got a lot of that going around right now. You know that. I mean, many of our churches are fearful of losing their 501c3. They don't understand what they can really do. And I think part of it has to do with that 501c3, but an awful lot of it has to do with their fear of losing people, you know, from their congregations. They don't want to drop their numbers. They don't want to be without the dollars to keep the church moving. So they compromise. And it's a very sad and it's just a bad situation. So, I mean, and we can pray and we can try to motivate them as best we can. And hopefully we've got some of the pastors who are willing to talk to some of the others. Maybe they'll listen to their own, the people that are in their own field. I don't know, Pastor Ernie, how do you handle it?
No, you can't. I've had people call me, mostly all women call me time after time and ask me if I would talk to their pastor. And they would tell me, he's really a good guy. He's really a wonderful man, but he just needs some courage. If you could talk to him. And I told him, look, I can't give him courage. I didn't give it to myself, and I can't give it to him. That's got to come from the Holy Spirit. That's got to come from within. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions, bold as lions. And these prissy preachers, they're so afraid. I remember one telling me, you know what? Everything, I agree with everything you're doing. I agree with what you say on the radio, but I would never do that. I mean, I could never do that. I could never. And I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I remember him telling me that, you know what? What you're saying about abortion being murder, that's right. But, Pastor, you have to understand, if I can't preach that in my church because that sin is so prevalent, I would offend so many of the women in that church. And I asked him, I said, now I want you to think about this. If you were preaching about that horrible sin, do you think that maybe that sin would not be so prevalent in your church? And he says, you know, I think you have a point there. You know, it dawned on him. Linda, you and I sit on the board of Ohio Right to Life all the way back in the beginning, didn't we?
We sure did.
And here, back in those days, I was an activist, and I was out chasing down those bloody abortion mills all the time. In fact, I did it for 45 years. And in that time, I got arrested a number of times. In fact, I led up a couple Operation Rescues, and I got arrested for preaching the gospel. And I wasn't ashamed at all for being arrested for doing the Lord's work, for rescuing those being led to slaughter and drawn to death, as God's word, the Bible, teaches. But one day, and you might remember it, we had some people came on the board, and they said, well, we don't want to give the media any ammunition for bad press, so we really should make it as part of our platform here that no one who has been arrested at the abortion mill should be on the board. And you might remember, I was a tad bit offended by that. And I said, I want to offer up a different resolution. I want to say that unless you have been arrested at least once for rescuing children, you're not fit to be on the board. I was not happy. And they decided at that time just to let the whole matter rest. you don't think I scared them some, do you?
I think you did. I think you gave him a lot to think about. Because so many of us say we're pro-life, but when it comes right down to it, we don't want to go where the rubber hits the road. We're just too afraid to be there. I remember years ago too. I had to switch churches because the pastor that was at the church where I was would not preach on abortion either, and we had approached him over January 22nd to give a message. And he said that very same thing. I know too many of the people in this congregation who have had abortions. And we said to him, but don't you want to offer forgiveness to them and courage to those who have even considered it, and more courage to those who may consider it in the future by telling them the truth? If they don't get the truth in their church, they're going to pick up on anything that they want anywhere out there. And it's a very sad situation, because the church is there to offer forgiveness and hope and not condone things or appear to condone things because they're so afraid to talk about it. I mean, the same thing is true right now with showing pictures of aborted babies. I remember, you remember this, at Ohio Right to Life years ago, too. You know, they didn't want to have anything to do with the pictures. We started out showing the Wilkie slides. That's what convicted me. I remember thinking, I don't have the call to do this kind of work until I saw those pictures. And then it was like, oh, my gosh, I got the call all right as soon as I saw what it was doing. But even now up in Michigan, when they were, you know, Mark Harrington was up there with Created Equal trying to stop that horrendous thing that they legalized to put into their constitution in Michigan.
It was horrible. It's absolutely, it's monstrous. Those people and that legislation up there, you know, I got to say, in the book of Judah, it refers to them as beasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there were pro-life people up there that were just having a fit that Mark was up there showing pictures. And you think, if we don't see the reality, I mean, that's what we're going to be doing with the coalition, is taking these, we're calling them the Truth and Light traveling town halls all across the state of Ohio to talk about the reality of abortion. We have to hit the reality. It's been around here for 50 years now, and people don't think about what it really does. We need to change the narrative. So instead of just calling it abortion, that's gotten so clinical and so nothing, we need to say what it is. It's child slaughter. And we need to change that narrative and be using it regularly so that even our own people who have grown used to having abortion around and feeling like they can't really change things have got to be more motivated within their hearts to get out there and really work to stop this. Or we're going to end up with the same thing in Ohio, and so are many of your listeners across the nation going to end up with the same thing there. If we don't motivate, people will say, oh, don't go preach to the choir, you know, don't go to the churches. And I say, the choir is not singing. We need to get to the choir. We need to get to the people who say that they're really pro-life and get them motivated. And once they're motivated and engaged, they take it to their families and their friends and their communities. And we got to go back to the basics again. We've lived with 50 years of this, and people just are afraid to go back to that sometimes. But if we don't, we're going to get more of the same. That's why we're where we are today.
You are so right. Pastor Ernie and I and several other people, friends of ours, were traveling the nation. We called it the Shake the Nation Conference. We were trying to wake up the church and wake up the pastors. And we found out a truth that was in the Bible: you cannot wake the dead. And you're right. You have to go to the people, to the congregation, because the pastors are not going to go there. We tried that in church after church across this land. We had five pastors up on their knees in tears, saying how they were going to bring their churches to come and hear the message and how everything was going to change. And the next day, not one of them came back. Not one of the people from their churches showed up as an example. So you are absolutely right. You have to touch the hearts of the individual Christians out there and motivate them to join in the battle.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I'm so glad that you guys are on here regularly, that you pray, that you go to the Word of God to get all of the courage that you need to do what you do. I mean, it's unbelievable that you have been able to stay on the air this long and reach this many people.
It hasn't been easy. You wouldn't believe what the opposition has done to try to knock us off the air. I mean, we have to broadcast under combat conditions half the time. But one thing... There ain't no quit in us. There's no quit in us.
Nope. God bless you.
And one time I did a television program, and they had against me a woman that ran a bloody abortion mill from NARAL, and she was so upset. She says, "What will it take to make you people quit?" I says, "You know what?" I said, "That's an interesting question. I never thought for one minute about quitting." And, of course, she didn't like that answer. And we never did. We shut down. We shut down five abortion mills here in Cleveland. And so we have one big major one left, and we've got to...
I know what would make you quit.
Yeah, well, if they stop killing babies, huh?
It's called the rapture.
Yeah, well, that'll take place.
That will happen, and you will quit when that happens. Because I don't think they're going to... Evil is not going to surrender. Evil has never surrendered. We can sometimes hold it at bay, but... It will not end until the rapture comes for us, as far as, you know.
We have to run. Until then, we have to run to the battle. We're going to take a fast break. And when we come back, Linda is going to tell us what one of the things that we can do, because we're fighting this fight, but it takes some finances to do that. So we'll be right back after this. Alrighty, we're back. And Linda, that heartbeat might sound familiar to you. When we first started to for the heartbeat pill, I wrote that song. When we first were trying to get the heartbeat pill before we even had to, we could get it in for a vote, right in the beginning, if you might remember, we had a big rally, and one of the women there who was pregnant had the recording of her baby's heartbeat. And so we got a hold of that, and we played that. I wrote that song, and that was this. I've never done anything like this. You had to see the conditions where we recorded that. We had the woman, the lady in that Esty Crispin, she went home to be with the Lord. But she was like the boy in the bubble. She could not leave. She had no immune system. She could not leave her apartment. So we built a studio in her apartment. Now, we had a mic hanging in the middle of the room, and we actually had people. There was like six people in that song, and they actually would walk in a circle around that, and the only one that was stationary was Esty, because she had to be. But and as it was their time to sing, they would walk up in front of the mic. It was like a circle. It was really strange. I can't believe we did it, but we did. It was, and that was the heartbeat. And we were playing that and playing that as we were trying to pass the heartbeat bill.
Wow. Wow. I remember that rally very well.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Jim Garlow was just in my hometown of Findlay, and I'm here in Ohio, and I missed him. But I pulled up his 3-minute talk that he gave that day. Oh my gosh, it brought back a lot of memories of a wonderful, wonderful rally. And I had forgotten that you did that song, but now that you remind me, I remember.
Yeah, we did a number of things. And yeah, I remember that when the atrium there at the State House was filled. And we had, it was actually filled. And we did have a lot of pastors there, and they were on their knees speaking or praying. And I remember Dr. Wilkie sat right behind me, and we had a number of the national pro-life leaders all up on the stage together there. And I remember turning and looking at Dr. Wilkie. He had a tear in his eye because he had been waiting for so long to see something like that. And what a soldier him and Barb were. They were real soldiers.
I sure wish they had been here on June 24th to see Roe fall. I thought about him that day so much.
I did too. Well, when he told me, because he was like a mentor to me, he told me way back when, I'm talking about back around 74, he said, I won't see it in my life, but you'll see it in your time. He said, you'll probably will see the overturn in your days, but I won't see it in my lifetime. Boy, he was very prophetic, wasn't he?
Oh, he sure was. More so than he ever knew, I'm sure.
And I remember, I said, certainly it's not going to take us. Certainly we'll get it done. You know, I'm looking at 2 or 3 years ahead, and he was, he was much more prophetic than I was in that. But I remember, do you remember Bernard Nathanson?
Oh,
we had lunch with him, Dr. Wilkie, and I believe you were there. And he sat right across from me, and he told me that, he said when they started, he said the one thing that they were concerned about is whether or not that they could get the media to go along to make language and terminology there's that would be palatable for killing children. And he said they were just amazed that how quick the media was to go for that, how much they wanted NBC, ABC, CBS to see babies die by abortion. It was, I mean, unbelievable. Okay, but what changed him was the silent scream. He said when he saw that baby's little hand inside the womb push the suction, the vacuum away, he said that turned him. He knew then that he had to stop. So I remember.
Well, he came in to testify. Do you remember he came into the State House to testify, and there were all kinds of security people around him. I mean, people were all over that guy when he was trying to get in there to testify. It was packed, just packed. And he was very, very, very effective.
Yeah, I could never get in. I couldn't get in there to hear him. That was, you're right. It was very, very packed. But anyhow, tell us what you're up to. We're gonna raise some money, and to save more babies. We're gonna save these babies. We're gonna fight with everything we have, aren't we?
You bet we are. You bet we are. We started Right to Life Action Coalition 5 years ago, and it actually started as Ohio Pro-Life Action to pass the heartbeat bill because we had opposition from other pro-life groups in the state, and we had to start our own statewide organization. So we started as Ohio Pro-Life Action, and then we started doing business as Right to Life Action Coalition in 2017. And we are a true grassroots organization. It's a true coalition of grassroots folks across the state of Ohio. So we have all the major metropolitan areas. We've got Cleveland, Cincinnati, Dayton, Toledo, the Columbus area, and loads of other county and citywide organizations as well. We're over 60,000 members, between 60 and 70,000 members total now. And we've not raised funds until just recently. I know you had me on when we were talking about our High Five for Life raffle to celebrate our 5 years, and that was the first fundraiser that we have done, and we did pretty well on it actually. But now we're finding, with what has happened with the reversal of Roe here and sending it back to the states, people are still confused about what that means, for one thing, and they don't know what to do and where to go. So we're thinking what we need to do and what we will do with any monies that are raised for our Giving Tuesday. This is the first time we've done a Giving Tuesday. With the monies that we raise, we're doing town halls across the entire state. We're going to take the next year and just travel the state with a 90-minute group of sessions, probably three sessions, maybe 15 minutes each, with 5 minutes of questions and answers afterwards, to talk about abortion, what it really is, the reality of abortion, end-of-life issues, and what actually is going on now since Roe has fallen and we're back in the state. So we want to send people out with all kinds of materials to take to their family and friends and community and pastors and anywhere they can get it, and then to reproduce that town hall in other places, hopefully do some just for the pregnancy centers and set them up so that we, any organization that wants to have anybody come in. You remember the old days, Pastor Ernie, when we had speakers bureaus?
I sure do.
We went everywhere that anybody wanted us to come and speak, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to put all of that out there. So we put together the Giving Tuesday campaign, and we'll probably continue it, though, all the way through the giving season to the end of the year as well. And we're going to try to raise $50,000, and whatever we raise, we'll make it work. You know, we can do it more extensively if we've got the money. We'd like to put $10,000 into each of our five districts across the state of Ohio, and we're talking with Mark Harrington and some other people about the most effective abortion pictures. We're going to do big 36 by 36s. We're going to take three or four of them with us, talk about the reality, the embryonic information, plus what the abortions actually do to those babies, and try and motivate and engage not only our own people, but those that they can bring in. And then, you know, sort of like the network marketing, you know, where you learn, you get motivated, you take it to the next group and the next group and the next group. And the hope is to bring more organizations into the coalition so that we can service them better and get them out to just keep multiplying across the state of Ohio.
Mark Harrington's done a wonderful job.
Oh, absolutely. And he's part of the coalition. He's one of our member organizations. And I'm so pleased that he is, because he was there when we started working on the heartbeat bill, when we had the very first press conference. Mark was there. And then when we started Ohio Pro-Life Action, he was there. And he's a member. And actually, he's going to be coming on as one of our VPs here very soon in our district in Columbus area.
Very good. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, he's got a national radio program too.
Oh, he does a wonderful job. Yeah. Wonderful job. And he has a lot of little blurbs that he puts out there each day on all of the different media platforms too that are just excellent. He's got some really, really good things.
Well, we've got to fight it with everything we have. God's Word, the Bible, doesn't stutter, and I get into that as I continue this message this week. So tell the folks, let them know where they can send their donations to.
Well, where they can go, the easiest thing to do is to just go to our website. That's just RTLA, so it's for Right to Life Action, Ohio, RTLAOhio.org. And the giving campaign is one of the first things that pops up, and you just press on this little world, and it takes you right to it with an explanation. There's a drop down to show what we're doing and what the coalition is about, and they can do that easily. We have one donor who's giving us a $1,000 match, and we're looking for some others to do that as well. So when we make our first $1,000 tomorrow, we've got that matched up to $2,000 already. So if anybody's interested in doing a match, that would be awesome as well. I'm trying to send some letters out to some individuals that I know across the nation, actually, some who have moved to Florida and some who have been from our area originally, but have been very supportive and try and get some other matches as well. So like I say, this is the first time we've done this Giving Tuesday because we don't pay anybody, Pastor, in this organization.
Boy, I'm used to that, aren't we, Joe?
You are. You betcha. All of you guys.
We are definitely used to that.
You bet.
Linda, I keep saying I'm a highly unpaid professional. You can use that phrase if you want.
I will. Thank you.
Well, we will continue, and I will continue to put that out. Now, there are a number of folks right now listening to you that are not on the Internet. They're old-timers like Joe and I, and they're not on the Internet, but they do have a telephone. Is there a phone number that they can call and say, look, I want an address where I can write to and send a check?
Let's see. I could give you my number. Let me think if I should do that. I can give you a post office box where we send everything to our treasurer. How would that be?
That'll work. Go ahead.
That'll work, yeah.
Let me grab that real quick.
And you'll be seeing a check, too, from Doers of the Word Church.
Here we go.
Yep.
Here we go. I got it right here. It's P.O. Box 338. And it's Madison, M-A-D-I-S-O-N, Ohio, 44057.
All right, again, very good.
Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio, P.O. Box 338, Madison, Ohio, 44057. You know, if they want to call your office directly and you can send them to me, I just hate to put my number out there.
Yeah, okay, that's all right, no. They can call us at 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367, if you'd like to donate to that, and we will tell you how you can do that.
Yeah, or you can send them directly to me then, Pastor, if you like, if they come through you already.
All righty.
Okay?
And remember, everybody there is a volunteer, and if you call at the wrong time, you might have to leave a message, but it will be received and taken in, right?
Yeah, it will be. Mm-hmm.
God bless you guys. You do such great work. It's a privilege to know you and to work with you. I'm so grateful every day for the wonderful people that are doing this work.
Well, you know, I want to say,
hard, but you wouldn't be doing anything else. You wouldn't be doing anything else. What's more important than this? I don't think much.
We want to say all of that right back at you. I've seen how hard you have worked over the years. And, you know, one of the best things about being active on the pro-life on the board there, there's real ladies. I mean, you are real ladies, chaste ladies. It's, you know, I've had to deal in the past with some that are not ladies, and especially with a feminist, and so it's such a relief to be with real ladies like yourself, and to be able to work with you over the years, because we've saved a lot of babies together, a whole lot of babies, And
well,
so
God bless you. One day, you know, like Henry Hyde used to say, one of these days when we all get to heaven, we're going to see all those babies that are going to say thank you, you know, for the effort that you put in. So we just keep praying that we do the right things and that we listen to the Holy Spirit and move when he says move.
Amen.
And, you know, that's what we got to do, and we will.
Well, God bless you. I love you. Linda, we're going to move. We're going to take a clip of something that is very, very, this is a bombshell, what is taking place here. And it's going to be, we're going to be taking a look at this election fraud. There is something, we're going to be listening to a guy named Pete Santelli and another guy named Michael Corey. And they're on the corporate players behind, they're going to take a close look behind the election theft. And they're going to show you things could be a lot worse, or are a lot worse than people realize. Now, as you listen to this, they have gotten a back door thanks to, and it started out with Obama, with Barack Obama. But folks, you're going to listen to this. Now, we're going to have to play in segments because it's very long. But they have found a back door. If you wondered why the sheriff there in Maricopa County, Arizona, got, you know, caught his hair on fire when they said, look, we want to take a look into your server there at the sheriff's department because they shared this server with the election board. And he went ballistic, said, you can't do that because we have confidential police stuff on there. Well, no, there's another reason why. And he knew there was a back door into that. They were checking out and the ability to look into who was going to be charged with fraud. And no, the opposition would know exactly what our side knew about the election fraud and what was taking place. And so, in fact, one of the things I was going to just take very quickly a look at, we had, I have an article, well, maybe I'll look at that as we get back, showing you just how amazing it is in Maricopa County when you had only 17% of registered Democrats vote, yet they got 51% of the votes. But not only that, 192,000.
Mr. Ernie, mathematically, that's not possible. Even a high school student knows that can't be done.
Yep. Well, hang tight and listen. We're going to start into 6 minutes into this clip. And then, Linda, if you're welcome to stay and listen to it, or you can go up on our website, wrwl.org, and you'll find it on our website. You can listen to it tomorrow if you wanted to. But you're welcome to stay with us tonight and co-host with us. Take it away there.
This Michael clip, Corey was there. I said I'm going to be bringing Michael Corey on. But I needed 2 hours with you this morning just to kind of point. As a matter of fact, Deb didn't even jump in because she said, I'm not even going to bother because I won't be able to get a word in edgewise. She knew how intense the conversation was going to be between me and our viewing audience. So, if you did not catch that broadcast, you need to go back and catch it. Some important revelations. You know, listen, my conversation this morning, I called out a couple of people. I don't like to do that normally, but I'll tell you what. People at the highest levels of the GOP had to be called out because of their public proclamation that caused people to not go there. And then there was another person. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. What we're going to talk about today is, let's say if 500,000 people were at the state capitol in Arizona. And Michael Corey was there. And in advance of going there, he said, all right, everyone is interested in doing the revote and stuff like that, but we've got this education process. So I'd like for the opportunity we talked about, hey, if you get an opportunity to talk to people and start telling them the truth about the world that we live in, it's a hard, cold reality. And I'll tell you what, you can't put out a flyer and ask people to, you know, just set the remote down and come running to find out about some very complex issues. They're just not going to do that. So, them going there to ask for a revote would have been a perfect audience, but that audience was taken away by a couple of people for whatever reason. That's okay. We're not going to stop exposing the truth. So we've regrouped and we've always planned. I say we, Michael Corey, as me, as his student, I've been wanting to get up to speed to learn about the 5 years plus of research that he's done, exposing what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, tonight will be really a general conversation about stuff. Now, we've prepared some slides you know, to present to you to back up everything that we're going to state. Now, this is how I would like to get started before I bring Michael Corey on. No matter how complex things are, and I think Michael, as I introduce him, I think he's going to agree that how I attached these complex things to what everybody is concerned about in Arizona. They want to revote. They know the system is broken. This is right out in the open. The system's much more broken than you even realize. But, you know, when I describe that, oh, my goodness, Sheriff Penzone wouldn't release his servers during the audit, during the investigation, there's a reason for that. And it's a big reason. It's a big reason. The magnitude of which will blow you away. Why is the Sheriff's Department server co-located with voter data? There's a good reason for that. And there's been some things that have been set up over many, many years leading up to the point where we're at right now. But this is what I will say as I bring Michael Corey on the line. The best way to describe, and this is why you have a duty to join us as often as you can to get educated. Because if you're not aware of what we need to get rid of, how are you going to be able to demand that we get rid of the very, very evil system that's been put in place worldwide? Michael Corey joins me tonight for this, a special broadcast, but a national security alert. What we're going to talk about is a matter of national security, is it not, Michael?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Pete.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for... You know what? I absolutely insist that you come on with me as often as possible. There's just so much information to unpack. Dude, if we did a documentary film, we wouldn't be able to encapsulate everything in a 2-3 hour documentary. It's almost impossible, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's begin. This morning, I think you listened to the show from this morning, and everyone's real energized about all eyes are on Arizona. All right. All eyes are on the fact that 2020 election wasn't fixed in Arizona. And this is what they do. It's a rinse and repeat. Let's just take us from this scam of it's literally a fake, a fraud, and a lie, and then kick the can down the road, buy another day, tell people they're going to fix things, and kick the can down the road into another sham election in 2022. And then here we are in 2022. We're also hearing now people are saying, well, we don't need to go protest. Let's just fix things in the next election. Guess what? There is no scenario whatsoever. Tell me if you agree with this. That if we don't get to the root, as we're going to discuss tonight, of where the problems are, there is no next election that is compromised. It isn't compromised, that is. There is no system in the future. You can't even go into the court systems and fix what needs to be fixed because the entire system is that corrupt, correct?
Right. Well, it's corrupt, but it's also connected, you know, through English common law. So it's just by virtue of the court and the system itself, admiralty and maritime jurisdictions, you know, these people have created their scam and their fraud through these courts. So if you think that you're going to challenge them in their courts and win, probably not going to happen, but you know, you have to start where their pocketbook will be affected. And I think going after the Federal Reserve, SEC, different institutions, as well as the corporations that actually allow these institutions to operate.
Let me tell you what you just said. Okay. And I think you understand like where I come from. I always tell my listening audience, I'm dumb as a box of paperclips, and I learn right in front of everyone. So when we have this conversation and I learn stuff and I ask you questions, everybody else benefits. What you just said, like, anytime somebody talked to me about Freemasonry, you know, I was like, ah, my eyes would roll back in my head and I'd go look at these documents and somebody said, see, they worship Lucifer. And my eyes roll back in my head and I'm like, I don't want to hear about that. I want to go watch my Giants game. I just want to tune out of that stuff. When I heard about, for instance, in the Roman Catholic Church, and I've been a Roman Catholic my whole life, about pedophilia and human trafficking and money laundering and all that stuff in the Roman Catholic Church, that I couldn't accept that they were diddling kids. It was so hard. So we shut down. So I went many years ignoring the truth about the world that we live in, but it's happening right in front of us. Now, when we say that we are a corporation and we are literally not an independent constitutional republic from the monarchy we declared our independence from in 1776, isn't that true?
As far as the courts are concerned and as far as
we're a corporation, we're not independent, right? From the crown, are we?
No, not at all. No. And that's the thing that I think is most... It's the most difficult thing to comprehend and understand. But once you start to break that down and you know, further expand upon it, you
fight the fight, light the light, we are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. As you know, the culmination of my life's work has been writing my Rational Bible Commentary series. I have done Genesis, Exodus, and the just-released Deuteronomy. They are all called the Rational Bible because my approach is entirely reason-based. My motto is, if it doesn't make sense, I don't accept it. If you look up the 5,000 reviews on my Rational Bible volumes, you will see how many lives I have changed. Whether you are a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, or a member of some other religion, it doesn't matter. This speaks to your mind and your heart in explaining the most important books ever written, the Rational Bible. The latest is Deuteronomy, the most quoted book of the nation's founders. So if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, even for someone with no faith, in fact especially, I recommend giving them my Rational Bibles. Go to PragerStore.com. You can buy them individually or as a complete set. All Rational Bibles sold in the Prager Store are autographed by me. Go to PragerStore.com. That's PragerStore.com, or click the banner on my website.